You're listening to The Wet Spot, hosted by Passion Poet, a safe space for our tears, sweat, and sexuality.
Have you always wanted to write a book but had no idea how to start? Or maybe you've already finished your manuscript but now you're stuck. Now what? Do you need someone to help you make sure your manuscript is error-free and ready for the world? Or do you need someone to help you get your book on Amazon ready for people to buy? Do you need any help at all self-publishing your book? Well, let Passionate Word Editing help you get everything done, from concept to completion. Contact us at passionatewordsediting@gmail.com and let's get started. Do you want to become a sponsor of The Wet Spot or to donate to help this Wet Spot go further? Well, here's how you can do it. If you want to become a sponsor of an episode or several episodes, you can hit me up at The Wet Spot Podcast, one word, The Wet Spot Podcast @gmail.com, and we can discuss how you can become a sponsor. If you want to donate a love offering or some just a gift to the Erotic Empire and the Wet Spot itself, hit me up in my PayPal. Just send something to paypal.me. That's paypal.me/eroticempire. One word, paypal.me/eroticempire. And just give a love donation. I would really appreciate it. And that will help the Wet Spot and the Erotic Empire go so much further. So thank you so much. And let's get wet. Get wet. Welcome to the Wet Spot poetry segment. Let my voice touch you in ways that will make you curl and go, Yes, let's get wet. Again, the slightly salty taste of your skin sends shivers shooting down my spine. I stay right there, inhaling deeply, greedily drawing up the pheromones of residing in the nape of your neck. Electric jolts make me pull back. Static shock has nothing on the charge your touch possesses. And I can't hold back any longer. One kiss, your lips, your tongue. Time stops when our lips touch. I can stay here forever. Feeling the softness of your pinkness, tongues wrestling gently, playing twister, and I'm hooked. I must go deeper. Nipple released from cloth prison, captured by hot heat and sucked. I want to ingest you, possess you, fill myself completely with all of you. I want to suck and lick and nibble, but I want more. I want to drink from the fountain of wonder between your thighs, make the cries of passion tear from your throat as my tongue plunders your love cave for treasure. I want to bathe in the river of your ecstasy like Jesus making mud and putting it on the blind man's eyes, because I want to see. I want to see the glory of God. But you pull back. No resonates in my mind space. And though I probably can guess why, it still makes me crave you more. Time flew by too quickly. Time for you to fly away from me. But I will start the countdown until we once again are in each other's arms. And until my tongue can complete the sojourn across sweaty skin. Ending finally deep within your weeping slit that leaks joy at my attention. And until my passion is buried deep within you. Signing my name on pink pages in white ink with a flourish. Welcome to the Wet Spot interview section, where we expertly marry erotica and education. We connect with awesome people who have awesome stories. Let's get wet and get deep. Welcome to the Wet Spot. This is another episode, and I'm always excited when I get another person to speak to. But this isn't just another person. In connecting with her again, I realized we've known each other for a very, very, very long time. We are going to be talking to Tarore Gatere. She is Kenyan. So we are talking from Barbados all the way to Kenya. She is, we met online. I'll give you a piece of what's the word I'm looking for? Some trivia. Kenyan Senega. A Senega is what you would call a sex auntie, I believe. In Africa and in Kenya specifically, in other parts of Africa, a Senega is someone who a lady who teaches young ladies, and especially how the joys and the ins and outs of sex. And we don't have people like that here in the Western world, except if somebody you pay lots of money to, these set the intimacy coaches and sex coaches, etc. But we had a Kenyan Senegal, Harriet, and she had a group online, and I remember joining that group, and that's where I met Tarore. And it was a good long time ago, because it was like 2014 or so, and you know, from there I've been following her progress into the lady she has become today. But let me stop babbling and let me let you learn more about this beautiful soul by inviting her to speak. Tarore, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm so, so excited. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Perfect.
Yeah, this has been, it's been a long time. I mean, we sat down.
Yeah.
When I sat and thought about it, you know, for any time I was writing my poems with you as my muse. That was like in 2014.
I can't believe how much time has passed, honestly.
It's been a long time. But
a long time.
Yes. I mean, we even spent the last season of Game of Thrones in a group together. Mm. So yes. Yes, let's have a moment of silence for how badly that ended.
Yes, man, that was the letdown of the century. Oh, but at least we went through it together, you know.
It's true. It is true.
Thanks.
The reason why I wanted you on the show is because the show is all about sensuality. The show is all about celebrating sensuality, especially from a perspective of healing and having a safe space. One of the things that I say about the show all the time, that it is a safe space for sweating and sensuality, allowing a safe space for people, especially women, who be able to be feminine, to allow them to be feminine in the sense that I say this all the time. Anyone who's listened to the show has heard me say this multiple times. As a man, I do not give you permission to be feminine, but at the same time, I you as a woman have so many different hats, have so many different roles that femininity is put under the back burner. Being the go-getter, being the person who sometimes runs the household, being the person who has to do all these different things, because women are nurturers. And you need the opportunity to, but in the sense of the fact that you have to be, in a sense, masculine. You have to put on your masculine a lot of the time, and the sense of femininity is lost because you have to do all the things that you have to do all the things that that I guess not that there's something to do with gender roles, but you understand what I mean. The masculine energy was, you have to be going all the time, and you don't get a chance to be sensual and feminine. And obviously, going over the years, I've seen you grow into a wonderful, powerful voice of sensuality, especially for women. And I wanted you to be able to have another platform to express that, to speak to that, sensuality, spirituality, these kinds of things. So this is why you're here. So with all that being said, just let people know, tell people a little bit more about yourself, and let's get deeper.
Okay, I'm ready to get deeper. So, yes, Tarure Gatare, I'm from Kenya, and I mean, how amazing is technology that you can be in Barbados and I can be in Kenya, and here we are having a conversation over the internet and connecting over our shared interests and our shared passions. Like, it's really incredible. Anyway, so I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. By profession, I am a life coach, and I have always just been a very feminine spirit at heart. And I have always been in touch with my sensuality as well from a very young age. And I have been very blessed in that I have had the opportunity to explore what it means to be a feminine, sensual woman, and break free from a lot of the expectations that are put on women and the conditioning, the social conditioning that we have. And, of course, our cultures are different. You come from the West. I come from Africa, and specifically from East Africa, Kenya, where we have a very, very conservative culture, just generally. And though we still have in place the traditional roles of men and women, there's also, I guess, I exist in a very strange, I don't know what to call it. It's almost, I wouldn't, maybe dichotomy, but that's maybe not the right word, but like it feels like we have in place at the same time very traditional cultural expectations, and at the same time very modern ones, and these tend to clash a lot. So women are expected to be so many things at the same time. You're expected to be, the go-getter and go out there, build a career for yourself, make as much money as you can, and like you said, take on the more masculine aspect so that you can gain success in the world. But at the same time, you're meant to also be docile and subdued and submit to your husband and really prioritize family. So being raised in a culture like that was so, it was very confusing at times because I really didn't know where I could fit in, because I was not the go-getter, the masculine woman, the typical masculine woman type. And I had, and by that I mean not physically, but you get what I mean in mentality, like the ones who can, yeah, go out there and get things done. But I had sisters who were the go-getters, and I wasn't necessarily the subdued, virginal, docile and submissive woman. So because I couldn't fit into any of those things, I sort of had to create my own little world where I could exist. Because anytime I tried to fit into any of those roles, I just felt so stifled and very unhappy. And thankfully, I don't know how this happened, but I ended up being born into a family where my mother was more open-minded than many of her age mates. And she, even though would still sort of play the game of this is what I want you guys to be, at the same time, she also gave us more freedom. And by the time I was a teenager, I was the one who was telling her what I wanted to do with my life. And she was just like, okay, you know what? She would never stand in my way. She would let me know I don't support this, but she would never stand in my way. And so even in my expression of sensuality, which she would get very uncomfortable with, because sometimes I'd have relatives calling her and being like, okay, so your daughter saying some things online or taking some really weird pictures, but she would just be like, I don't get what you're doing, but I'm your mother and I love you. So I guess that's a little bit of my background. I feel like I went off on a tangent, which I tend to
Well,
do. So
that's quite
please,
fine.
please
That's
feel free to
quite
keep
fine.
drawing me back.
That is fine. That is fine. That is fine. Because honestly, this is what, and this is exactly, to me, this is exactly what the podcast is for. It allows for freedom of expression. And so, I'm not, as long as we are not, the tangent doesn't, lead us off into esoteric, we go way far beyond what we want to talk about. I have no problems because, it is a talk show, so we're supposed to talk, innit?
Yes, exactly. I love it.
But yes, I mean, in truth and in fact, this is exactly what I and it allows me to delve into to things like, how did you create that world for yourself? Because I'm sure there are other people who are like you who do not fit into either of those traditional roles. I, as you said, I live in Barbados. I live in the Western hemisphere, but to be quite honest, there is a lot of what you said that mirrors in our country as well, right? We live in a severely traditionally Christian society. So although the modern day the Caribbean and Barbados specifically loves to boast that it is a Christian nation, but at the same time there are things that happen and people are growing up with a different mindset. The mindset is not one of religion. The mindset is not one of typically Christian or typically or typical values anymore, because people have access to the internet. They have access. My children, who are now 16 and 14 years old, are asking questions that I would have never asked at their age, not just because of not just because some of those questions they're asking to an adult, but the type of questions, because of the amount of information that is at their fingertips, as they are children of the internet. The things that they constantly speak to, they constantly speak to TikTok. My oldest son is addicted to TikTok. Everything is, TikTok said, TikTok said. I'm like, dude, get up and go and go. We still have actual physical encyclopedias in my house. Go get up and look at a book, or at the very least, go to Google. TikTok is not, TikTok is like Wikipedia. You can't just take what you get from TikTok and apply it to life. But they are children of the internet, and therefore they grow up and they've grown up in a way in a with information in front of them. And as I say, Barbados is a very On the one hand, they say to themselves that they're a Christian nation, but to me, I find it very hypocritical because they, I'll give an example that I've said on the show a couple of times before. When I wrote that book, when we met, I had written my first book, Erotic, and when I wrote that book, I remember giving, a guy from my office wanted to buy it, and then he brought it back. He brought it back 2 days later, telling me he can't keep it. And the long short of it is, he's a Christian. He didn't know what type of book it was. And I said to him, dude, I have two problems with your what you had to say. First, Song of Solomon. Okay, let's start there. The Song of Solomon is right in the same Bible, and it is full of eroticism. First thing, and then second, there are three people in the Bible that you purport who've been created without sex: Adam, Eve, and Jesus. Thus and therefore, I am assuming you have gotten your daughter on eBay, because obviously, if you have no idea about sex, you must have gotten her. I hope you got a discount because, So long, so I have grown up. So long, here we go. Like I said, tangent, right? But all of that was to say, Barbados is not that different from Kenya. There's a lot of the traditional values, but then there's a lot of people being more exposed to becoming sensual and feeling a dichotomy. It was the right word. Feeling a sense of I don't know where to go. I don't fit anywhere. Right? So for those people, especially for those women who are like yourself, what caused you? How what caused? Well, I mean, that's what caused you to create that world. But how did you navigate that world? How did you? What did you do in that world? Like, obviously, we met while you were going through some of it. Like I said, for those of you who are listening to the show, I do want you to go to the website, go to our IG page, and you will see on the IG page a couple of the photos that she took, all the way back in 2014. But it was her photos and my poetry, and I did we did a, like a, we did four of those, I think. And and the idea for both of us was to explore sensuality in creative ways, right? So how did so like I said, I'm asking to expand on that. Like we used that was one of our ways, or that's the way where we connected, but how else have you navigated that space to become comfortable in your sensuality? And also navigate this space between two worlds.
This actually starts with a bit of a dark phase, which ended up being one of the most liberating things for me. I had had mental health struggles since I was in my late teens, and it got somewhere in my 20s. It got to a point where it was pretty bad, and during that time, I think here in Kenya, the conversation around mental health had just begun. And I mean, we had had like psychiatrists and psychologists here for like as far back as we can remember, but there was a lot of stigma attached to people who needed mental health support. So as I was dealing with it, there was still not that much information. My family was also not very aware of what was happening to me. So I sort of had to navigate through my mental health struggles by myself. And I do not recommend that at all, because it was very, very difficult. But the thing that it did was it built a resilience in me that I did not have before. Because I always say, if you've had to bring yourself back from hell, then there's very little that people can do to, oh, is it, do you swear on this podcast? Just
Oh, yes, please.
oh, okay.
You said free expression.
Free expression. You are completely free to do what you
Excellent. It's always good to check. So,
want.
if after you brought yourself back from hell, there's a part of you that becomes impossible to fuck with,
Yes.
and so I pretty much had to build myself up and build myself, my identity, my sense of self. I had to put myself back together. So by the time I think by the time we connected, I was just starting to come out of the dark cycle. I wasn't
Right.
completely out of it yet. But what this showed me was, first of all, what people think of you when shit hits the fan, that's like the least important thing. When you're just trying to survive, you don't really care what people think about you. And so I stopped giving a fuck to some extent. I mean, I was just
Yeah.
like, I realize now that my life is mine to live. And because during the darkness, one of the things that I had to come to terms with was that so much of the pain that I was feeling was because I was trying to live a life that wasn't authentically mine. I was trying to be this person that society expected me to be. I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to appear successful. I wanted to do all these things. And what that did to me was actually harm me. So I got to the place I was like, okay, fuck it. What do I want to do? How do I want to live? And one of the things, and the one of the most central things about me, one of them is spirituality. The very close second is my sensuality. And those two
Right.
often go hand in hand. And I knew
Yes.
that these aspects of myself feed me in a way that nothing else can. When I am my most sensually expressive is when I am my most alive. It's when I am my most aligned. It's when I'm creative, I'm at peace. So I knew that I had to find ways to express that part of myself, which is why I also ended up in the group with Harriet, because that was one of the outlets. And then I started just talking. That's literally what I started doing. I just would write things on Facebook. I started talking about sex. I started talking about spirituality. I started talking about the things that I saw were wrong. Well, wrong is for me not the right word, but harmful when in our culture. I just started sharing, and
Yeah.
at that point, I didn't really have a substantial platform of any kind, but because I was openly talking about things, I started getting people in my inbox just being like, oh my gosh, I have never seen somebody talk about these things. I've been feeling this way, and nobody else understood me until I read what you wrote. And people would come into my inbox and tell me their personal, secrets. I mean, the most vulnerable things. And that was such an honor to me because I was like, first of all, how do they just trust me with their most intimate, I mean, the things I was told, but I'm sure you also get that. There's if you show yourself vulnerably to the world, I guess people feel safe enough to share themselves with you. And
Agree.
that is, yes, and it's such an honor and something that I carried with such respect. So I just started connecting with people like that, and that's what I guess has snowballed into the lifestyle that I have today.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, well, I totally agree with you. I mirror what you say, because as you become vulnerable to others, it's like, okay, if they are opening up themselves, maybe I can do that. And yeah, I feel the same way. I've seen people come and just offload, and it just feels so much lighter when they do. It's like, being an empath, I can pick up when I literally feel the lightness, and it's like, oh my God. And just like what you said, it is a humbling experience to have someone trust you that much. But yes, and the idea of spirituality and sensuality linking, I also, for me, they're not just linked, they're actually one and the same to me.
It's true,
They
yes.
are like two sides of the same coin, because I actually had a conversation with a friend the other day, literally 2 days ago, and I revealed to them, which the Bible that they follow, I no longer walk in that faith, but I said I remember doing some research, and the second verse of the first chapter in Genesis was, it has to do with, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. This is literally just before the creation of the world. And I was reading, years ago, I was reading this book where they were doing the etymology of the word hover. The whole book was all about what hover meant. And there were different synonyms, different nuances to the word hover. In Hebrew, they were specifically talking about the Hebrew word. And that particular scripture
mm-hmm.
is of a very sensual experience. Mm-hmm. That word hover in that mm-hmm. context is where a man and a woman are having sex,
mm-hmm.
and where the woman is practically, it doesn't really matter which actual position she's in, but in my mind, she's in missionary. And he's mm-hmm. above her, and he's mm-hmm. above her, and he's literally, the penis is literally hovering right before penetration.
Oh, wow.
That is what that word hover means in that context. When it says the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, that context is where the penis is directly in front of the vagina, about to enter. So you are having sex mm-hmm. with your man, and he pauses.
Yes.
And he pauses right there. That is what that word hover means. And so if the second chapter of Genesis, if the second verse, sorry, of Genesis has a spiritual connection to creation, how mm-hmm. is it that we've done a separation between sexuality and sensuality? And because the same Bible has it, it is so ingrained. But again, it is because people have bastardized the scriptures. Mm. They have taken spirituality and spread it so far away from sexuality that now people are afraid to talk about sex.
Exactly. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine actually last night, talking about because I was also raised in the church, and I feel like that separation, what has happened is it has created of so many harmful ideas and mentalities around,
yes.
not just around sex, but also around just the essence of being human. And you see how you're supposed to be so separated. You know how they talk about like the spirit and the flesh, and mm-hmm. how they're supposed to be separate. You know, you're not supposed to be of the flesh. You're supposed to be of the spirit.
Yeah.
And I think when that separation happened, there was a lot of harmful things that came with it, because it's a disconnection from what is natural, from what is from what is God-given, basically, what life is, because sex is life. That's exactly how life is created. So why would we ever want to separate sex from life? Like, how would we ever be able to separate God from sex? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. And I remember when I was, because I almost had to sort of brainwash myself when I came out of the church, just to get all those attitudes and mentalities out of me. And
yep,
one of the
very much so.
Yes. It takes a while, doesn't it?
Yep, yes, it does.
And one of the places that I went to was aspects of Hinduism, because they still had in many of the spiritual texts and mm-hmm. in some of their beliefs, they had still kept that relationship between sex and spirituality. And, you know, even the way they talk about the energy of the world, you know, there's Shiva and there's Shakti. Mm-hmm. And they always had the male, even with a lot of their gods, they were paired up. It's like every female god had the male cohort, what's a consort? What's the word I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I think you mean consort. A picture, probably. Yes. Hey, don't worry, yes. I got you.
So, and that for me was very healing, because if you notice also in Christianity and a lot of the Judaic religions, the feminine is shut out. The feminine, yes, is separated and actually made less than the masculine. Whereas in Eastern religions, in Hinduism especially, they have them at the same level. Like they're mirrors of each other. They it's one energy, but they're two parts of that one energy, and they each have their own special traits that sort of balance out the other. And that was so healing for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, first of all, on a spiritual level, to bring back the feminine, to bring back the life-giving force into my spirituality. And then on a sexual level, to also understand that the things that are the sensuality that I have naturally, is there's nothing shameful or wrong with it. It's actually a beautiful part of life. And it sort of put me back together. I felt like I was now in a place where I felt whole again. And I don't necessarily subscribe to any particular religion. I sort of pick and choose, and I'm very, and just being able to bring these aspects, because when I was, as I said earlier, being raised in the church, they talk about the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had in my desire to be a good Christian girl, because my spirituality was something that I had carried with me ever since I was a child as well. I just always had this knowledge that there was this greater energy that was a part of me and that loved me and was a part of everything. So because I was raised in the church, I thought that was the truth. So right. I was trying to be a good Christian girl, and so I was trying to separate my flesh from my spirit and do what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
But it broke me. It felt very unnatural to me. So being in a space where I could again love the fact that I was feminine, because not only is the feminine made less than the masculine in Christianity, the feminine is also shamed a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of shame, especially if you are naturally sensual, if you carry yourself with a certain confidence. It's like you have to be responsible for the lustful feelings that all the men in the church have, and you cannot ever be sexy, or you're criticized a lot for that. So getting to the place where I could once again appreciate these things of myself and love them and actually bring them to my divine spirit and put them together was so healing to me. And like I said, I don't really subscribe to any particular religion now, but I'm drawn to things where the feminine is appreciated and honored and revered as much as the masculine is.
I totally understand that for sure. I in that conversation that I had with my friend a couple of days ago, I got pretty vulnerable and told her some secrets about, well, there's still not secrets, it's just private. Mm-hmm. When I did the Christian thing like you, I started very, very young. I was in church from the time I knew myself. I got baptized at 10 years old. And just like you, being a very, very strong Christian, people know me as Passion Poet now. But then I was passionate. I've always been passionate. Just that at that point in time, my passion was totally centered around the church, totally centered around Jesus. So I was passionate. I was passionate about that. So I did do the Christian thing, even up to being married, even up to only having sex officially on my wedding night. You fool around and stuff. But I never went all that way until. And to be honest, I regret it. I regret it up to this day. I regret it because what happened is it took me. It took me, our marriage lasted about 11 years. But after that 11 years and we finally divorced, I I didn't know myself. I didn't know myself as a sexual being. Well, even let's start at the beginning. Having been told all the years about sexuality, I mean, about, you know, not having sex before marriage,
yeah,
just like you, it was drilled into my head. So the point of when, you know, you are actually able now to have sex because, of course, you have the ring on your finger. It was, like you said, there was a sort of brainwashing that happened because I had no idea, like, what to do. I had no idea what to do because, of course, you're not taught about sex during, you know, you're told not to do it, but you're not taught about sex. We in the Western world do not have sex aunties. They didn't have a Harriet. I don't know if in Kenya, if there's one for the men, because, of course, Harriet, I know that Harriet focuses on both men and women, but I don't know if that's normal or if they, because what I see on the television when it is brought up in documentaries, they're always speaking about being there for the women. So I don't know if there's one for the men, or I don't know if the Senegal actually does both on a normal basis, but I do know that Harriet does allow for both and work for both. But for sure, there was no one teaching me about sex. And it got to the point that on my first, like, after my first sexual encounter, I literally sat there and thought to myself, is this what I waited 23 years for?
Man. Oh, man.
This is what I waited for? For real? Damn. Oh. I mean, and it took coming out of my, and then, of course, there are other things, but I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
When we did have sex and I did, you know, well, you know, you get an orgasm, but you ejaculate, and this is a topic of discussion for some like later time. But I do realize that there's a difference between orgasm and ejaculation as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you come to the place where you actually, you know, you ejaculate, but you didn't feel anything. You always think of a man always coming, but that ain't true. A man always ejaculates, but that don't necessarily mean that he feels that intense orgasm that, you know, people always associate with it. But I will say this, I when I got that orgasm, when I was having sex during my honeymoon time, that is when I heard God. Literally. I was, because before, you know, again, while I was in church, I was a prophetic person. So I was literally hearing God speak to me, and I would translate that to other people. And the times when I came home from, I remember when I came home from my my honeymoon, I came home with a book of prophecies. And people were like, how the hell did you have time? How did you have time to hear God while you were in your honeymoon? And then, but I couldn't explain to them at the time that the times when I heard God most was literally at the point of orgasm. Literally.
Wow.
At the point of orgasm. Right? So this is why I am so passionate, pun intended. This is why I'm so passionate about sex and about even about spirituality. Because for me, in my personal experiences, I can tell people all the time, yes, I do not subscribe to Christianity anymore, but I also do believe that God exists. I do believe, because so much things that have happened in my life cannot be explained otherwise, and literally have been physical. I've seen physical manifestations of miracles. It wasn't no one spoke to me about them. I saw them for myself, and some of them were of biblical proportions, like the times when we were praying for someone and the oil ran out, and we laid hands on that oil and prayed for it, and it reappeared just like how it did in the scriptures. So no one can look at me and tell me God don't exist. But at the same time, I have been in a position where I have laid hands on people and seen them healed, but I've also laid hands on people and seen them orgasm. And not only that, the presence of the same anointing, that using the spiritual words, the same physical presence of the anointing that happened when I prayed for people and seen them healed, actually happened when I laid hands on them and seen them orgasm. When I speak to you and you, when I call forth your orgasm from you over the phone, which has happened, When I'm calling an orgasm out of you over the phone, it's not just a sexual act. I literally feel the presence of God around me when I'm doing it. So yes. So this is the reason why this podcast exists. This is the reason why. This is why I am here. This is why I brought you here, to explain to the people that God and sex are not, mutually exclusive.
Mm-mm.
God created sex for God's sake. Mm-hmm. He created it. And if he created it, and he, in his word, the word again that the Christians use, and he looked at it and said it was good, who the hell are you to say it is not?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This was supposed to be your interview. I'm taking over your interview.
No. Oh my gosh. I'm just sitting here basking in your words, because those are such life-giving words. And it's also really wonderful to hear that from somebody else, because I have also experienced some very miraculous things in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have had like a personal experience with the divine that defies mm-hmm. all human logic, then you cannot be convinced otherwise. Like, exactly. it's your personal truth. And I remember there was one time that I bumped into a friend of, someone who used to be a friend of mine when I was, mm-hmm. When I left the church, people sort of like shunned me in a way. They were just like, this woman is demonic, you know?
Yeah, we could talk about that off air for sure. We could swap stories for sure. Get along.
So, nobody wanted to talk to me for a number of years. And it's very interesting to now see them go through the journey that I went through mm-hmm. and just be like, oh my gosh. And some of them have come and been like, I'm really sorry. But I'm like, no, I completely understand. You were under the, for lack of a better phrase, under the influence of all this mm-hmm. conditioning. Mm-hmm. And of course, you had been taught to see others as separate from you, and if they weren't with you, then they were against you. So I never held any grudges. So anyway, right. I bump into this person who I hadn't seen for years, and they're still in the church, and they took it upon themselves to try and preach to me to convince me to come back to the church.
That's always made me laugh when they tried to do that.
I know, and it was so, I mean, I could see that they were really trying and coming from a good place, but I'm just looking at them and I'm like, my goodness, I'm never coming back. Like, whatever has happened has opened my mind so much that to come back, there's no way. I would have to stuff all these truths into something that, you know, I'd have to minimize myself. Mm. And I just, what I told them was, because they were trying to ask me questions like, but how do you really believe that you have the truth, and what is your truth based on? And I said, on experience. And for me, that's, you cannot talk me out of my experience. You cannot convince me that the things that I have seen of God are not the truth. And I'm not trying to impose it on anybody else. I'm not here preaching the gospel of Tarure to the rest of the world to try and get them to join. I just know what's true for me, because I know it in my soul, in my heart. Yes. And I cannot be like, I cannot be moved, but I appreciate what you're trying to do. It's just not for me. And I love that when I hear you speak with that kind of conviction, you sound to me like that person who has had these experiences on a soul level, to the point where there's no other, like, your truth is your truth.
Exactly. And we are twin spirits. We are twin spirits. There is nothing that they can tell me. And on top of that, not to boast or anything, but the only thing I have not done in the church is lead one by actually going to be ordained. I've done everything in the church, from being the altar boy, from being the person who picks up the ties, you know, the actual, in the older churches here in Barbados, you used to walk around with a wooden bowl, and people would just put the money in. So I used to do that when I was younger, and growing up to lead cell churches. I've been in every aspect of church, I've been a deliverance minister, so even all the casting out of demons and stuff like that, I went through that phase. There is nothing that they can tell me that's going to convince me. And again, just like what you said, experience trumps conversation. Experience trumps your theology, because my experience trumps your theology 1,000-fold. There is nothing you can tell me that does not. I mean, so if you want to look at me and tell me, someone said to me the other day, oh, you're still a Christian. I'm like, well, if you want to say that, you want to pray that, you can keep praying. But yeah, because there is no other, just like what you said, I am not, there's like, I'll give you a physical, practical example. I've moved away from, I left my job. I'm no longer working for government. I work for myself. But what that did was, I was for, I'm still in a period of slight transition, in the sense that I'm still trying to build my business up. What that did for, what that did was, I decided I am not going to have my salary anymore. I'm going to have to leave my apartment and come back to my mom's house. Right. So we're having this recording right in my home office, in my bedroom. But 8 years of living apart, 8 years of living on my own meant that I had to cram an entire apartment into one bedroom. If that is not an example of trying to cram all of the experiences that we have had into a small, tiny box, I don't know what is.
Yes. That is a very accurate example for sure.
You know, so, but you know, spirituality and sexuality are linked, people. They are the one and the same. God is real, but God does not bow to you. God does not bow to your puny expectations of who God is. Right? God is not even masculine. He is we use the he because it was taught to us. But there is a portion of scripture where God has very feminine attributes, because the Lord, whenever I start thinking, scriptures start popping back into my head. But there's somewhere I think in Nehemiah or somewhere where the image, the metaphor is of an eagle spreading its wings to catch a falling its falling children. The birds are trying to fly and they can't fly, and the eagle swoops down and catches them before they hit the ground. That's the image that God had. That's the image of God in that scripture, and that's not a masculine attribute. That's a feminine attribute. Right. So God is not male nor female. He's spirit. And we need to recognize that. So as it relates to moving through this dark period into where you are now, I know we touched on you know, the stuff you're doing, living, going through the decision to be polyamorous for a bit, then going back to being monogamous. You know, the photos and stuff. I am going to say right now here publicly, I want more photos, honest to God, because I want more photos, because I want to write some more. I want to write some more of those. And as I told you, people, look at those photos, right? Because when I met Tori, right, she did look pretty, right? But now, come on, man. Jeez. Oh my God, my heart palpitate when I see these photos, boy. Look, and I remember when I saw, like I remember seeing somewhere on, like I was following her when I lost the IG page. I don't know if you had the same experience that I did, because if you look at those photos, what I did is I tagged you, you know, when the photos came out, but that original IG page was your name, and now is someplace else. I don't know if you had the same experience that I did with Instagram, where they shut my page down because of all of the sensual stuff.
Sorry, yeah, I was saying that wasn't the case with me. I
Okay.
actually, I changed my
You just
handle.
change your handle. Right, cool. But yeah, for me, yeah, they shut me down and I had to start and build all over again.
Oh man, my
But
goodness.
when I those photos are gorgeous, but what I did with them is, I wrote, I used the energy from those photos and just sat and wrote. Because again, spirituality and spirit is a creative thing, and her sensuality just spoke to me and got me in a position where I'm like, yeah, I need to write. So this is a way for expression. So going through all of that, and again, we keep going in a lot of tangents, and I love
Yes, I love it
it. Where you said you were a life coach, what got what
Yes.
bring me to that life coach experience? Is the life coach, and my question is, the life coach practice the reason that you change your handle? And tell me about that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a longish story, so I'll try and not make it too long.
Well, I mean, I have yet to find out. Let's put it this way. I have yet to find out how long we can record, right? So my longest time actually doing a recording was like 2 hours. So don't sweat it, sweetheart. You talk.
Great. Yeah, so where do I begin with this? I started getting into life coaching, and actually the way that I got into being a life coach was through what I had mentioned earlier, which was when I went through my darkness and I had to be the one to take myself through it. That was one aspect that led me to the life coaching. The other thing was, I generally in my life have been the person that people come to when they have problems. And so I was helping my sisters through things. I was helping my friends through things, my parents sometimes, cousins, like people would just come and talk to me. So helping people was also something that just came so naturally to me, and I loved being there for them and offering a hand to take them through whatever it was that they were going through when they needed some extra support. So at the actually was I think when we connected was a very significant point in my life, because it was literally around 2014, 2015. That's when the universe orchestrated it, and I met this woman who had a friend who was a trainer in who trains life coaches. And through my meeting with this woman, she just loved me and was just like, I feel like I need to connect you to this person. And I actually ended up getting a scholarship from that trainer to
Nice.
get my certification in NLP and something called family constellations. And I did this, I mean, these are things that cost thousands of dollars. And the universe just opened things up, and I ended up doing it all the way to master practitioner for nothing. Like,
Wow.
literally, I didn't pay anything. And so from that, I was like, I know that this is where I'm supposed to be, because when I see things align like that in my life, then I know that there's a bigger plan that's in play that's beyond my understanding. And so I started to do the life coaching thing. And at the same time, that's when I was going through a really big sexual awakening. And sometimes I was able to marry this sensual part of me to my life coaching in a really great way. When I started posting sensual pictures, there were a lot of beautiful things that came from it, such as connecting with you more. You being able to, I mean, your words are so beautiful. The stuff that you wrote to my pictures was so touching and in so many ways. And I remember reading those words and being like, my goodness, this person has captured my energy and the things that I feel. And it was just brilliant. So a lot of good things came with it. There were also some situations that I feel like were not so beneficial. And by that I mean there are people who take sensual art for what it is and are able to connect with it. there are others that come and take it in a different way. Now, me being like a woman dealing with a lot, it was just like this avalanche of male attention that sometimes was so disruptive to my energy field, because I'm an empath as well, and all these people just felt like there were all these people just surrounding me. That's what it felt like. Yeah. I would get inboxes, hundreds of inboxes, and when I was like out in the world, sometimes, especially when it came to dating, I noticed that a lot of people would come in with some preconceived ideas of who I was, and they would assign all these their ideas to me, like I'm supposed to come in and just be this dominatrix character who will, you know, show them pleasure that they have never known before, you know. And it felt like it was a lot of pressure. I didn't know how to navigate that space very well, because I was still trying to understand I was still learning how to embrace my sensuality in a way that felt healthy and felt like it was edifying me and felt like it was good. So it got to the place where, especially after, you had mentioned the time that I went through polyamory. Mm-hmm. I had just ended a major relationship, mm-hmm. and I was seeing different people, and at some points I had a primary partner, but generally, you know, I was just seeing different people, and everybody, I was very open and honest about it, as you are with polyamory, you know, mm-hmm. you keep open communication, you know, you build trust with your partners. Mm-hmm. And so I was exercising polyamory, and what I started to notice in those situations was what I said now, when I'm dating, these people come in and they have ideas. It's just like, this is who you are. They put me in a box, like I am just a sexual being.
Right.
And I was not okay with that, because now as I'm older, I understand the places where I want to express my sensuality. Mm. At that time, I was still finding my feet, but I realized that I am an entire being with so many different aspects. Yes, I am a very sexual and sensual being, but I'm also a very spiritual being, and I am a very emotional being, and mm-hmm. I am a very intelligent being. And all these aspects of me have to be allowed in the relationships that I have. So it got to a certain place where I just got I felt fatigued.
Yeah.
And that's when I just started to pull down the pictures, and I remember I even shut down my inbox for a while.
Mm.
I turned off comments for people that I wasn't following. Like I felt like I just needed to stop all these different connections that were happening and focus on bringing my energy back into myself and understanding where I wanted to go. And so, yeah, at the same time, that's when I realized with polyamory, I haven't put it to the side completely. I still feel like there's a part of me that would be able to experience it again. I feel like I might be open to it in the future. But at this point in my life, what I am interested in doing is connecting with one person and exploring what a sort of sacred relationship with another being would be like.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, like I said, this is an experience, and I am so glad, because I did notice. I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I noticed when you pulled away, and I didn't see you anymore. And I put it down honestly. I put it down honestly to losing my page, my original page, because now that I'm a business owner, I have been, you know, encouraged to put people onto a mailing list versus mm-hmm. connecting to them on these platforms. My business coach always says, you are building your house on somebody else's land, right? She says, mm-hmm. you at any time, Instagram can shut down, Facebook can mm-hmm. shut down, all of these things can shut down. I think I'd gotten a little over 1,000 people. I was very small, still small. A little over 1,000 people had started to follow me when Instagram shut me down. But I had no way to communicate with all of them after I shut down. So I lost many, 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 many contacts. And I'm now building back up again, you know. So if you're listening to this podcast, try and go to the page and follow me. Not only follow me on the podcast, but go and sign up for the mailing list. Thank you. Right. So, but yes, so I did. So I saw when you pulled away, but I did put it down to losing all of these contacts. But I was so glad to see you pop back up again. So what I was asking about is Inner Space Explorer. What does that name mean? What is the where are what does that mean, and what who is that? Is that the name of your practice? You know, what is that? And explain that part to me.
So Inner Space Explorer, funny enough, it actually came from a song. The inspiration for it came from a song. This really beautiful, soulful singer called Jamila Woods, and she has a song called Way Up, and there was a line that I, from the first time I heard it, stuck in my head for, I think it felt like months. And she says that she's an alien from inner space. And that it felt like, I don't know if you've ever just heard something that feels like it describes you so perfectly, and like you're just like, my goodness, how did she know? You know? Because that's how I have always felt different, but different because it feels like my inner world sometimes is more, I don't know if I can say more real. And by my inner world, I mean my spirituality and the and how connected I feel to God or to the universe. And it has always been the center of my life, and I have always been fascinated in exploring it and understanding what this connection is about, the connection that I feel to the universe. What is this, and how can I express it? And so I started thinking about inner space, like I'm an alien from inner space. And then I realized that because I have a very curious personality, I've always, my mom used to, I used to exhaust my mother with questions when I was a child, constantly asking questions about everything. And she, at certain points, she'd just be like, okay, no, you need to just go sit and do something else. Stop asking me questions. But I have always asked questions and try, like I love to explore life. I love to explore the mind and just every aspect of being human. So for me, the explorer part of it was also important, and that's why I called myself the Inner Space Explorer. So it's sort of like a name for myself. And where I wanted to go with the direction of my page, I'm also in the process of slowly building a business. And for me, it's a conscious business. And what I want to accomplish with it is to create spaces for people to explore so many different things, but generally to explore themselves and different aspects of their being. So I thought that what I would start with was me exploring, me talking about the insights and the epiphanies that have come from me exploring my own inner space.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So what I'm definitely going to tell you is as you explore more, and as your business grows, you always have a space on the wet spot. You can come back anytime and conversation with me and let me know, give me an update, give us an update on what is happening with you, with your business, and with the consciousness. We also allow for you can sponsor an episode, but that's business. We can talk about that later. You know, but you can also sponsor an episode to have people, you know more about your business and more about what you want to achieve. And so pointing people to your page, you know, you can do all of that here with me, with the Wet Spot, with the Erotic Empire. So yeah, before we wrap up, I want you to speak to those women. I want you to speak to people in general, but because we sort of focus on women. I want you to speak to those women who are in that same space, who are scared, who are in shadow because they don't know where they belong. Our journey sort of mirrors people who are coming out in the LGBT community. They also feel separate. They also feel like they don't know where they belong, and they have to have navigation of their own space from this. So I mean, anybody who's in that space right now, who needs a hand to hold to figure out where to go next, speak to them, and then you can let people know how they can find you. If you know, in terms of, do you, you know, in, I know you, well, you're in Kenya, do you have consultations, like online consultations, or are you only just dealing with, you know, your country? How does that? So yeah, so basically just speak to those people first. Those are two questions. Speak to those people first, give them a bit of encouragement, and then let's go into how to contact you and stuff like that.
Okay, great. So when you were speaking about people who, you know, are probably in the darkness and are starting their journey to come into themselves, and that really touched my heart, because sometimes I have moments when I think about my younger self and what she was going through. First of all, I am infinitely grateful to the struggle of my younger self because of where it has brought me to. And agreed. I think that's where I would start. I would start by saying that there's a future you that will be so grateful for every tear that you have cried and for every obstacle that you have faced, because you are in the process of making a new version of yourself. And oftentimes it can feel really hopeless and dark and scary and very uncertain. But I believe that each of us carries a divine truth within us. And the wonderful thing about this God energy, this universal energy, is that it is always seeking to express itself in a healthier, happier way. It's always seeking to evolve. It's always moving towards better. Even in the darkness is part of the process of evolution. So I would just say, follow the truth within you. Learn to trust that truth more than anybody else's voices. Take care of yourself. The wonderful thing about the world that we live in right now is that you can connect to so many people. I cannot tell you how healing it was for me to be able to connect to people who were not even remotely close to where I lived, but had similar mentalities. Yep. And just that, being able to, even if it's just one person, sometimes you can find an entire community of people. People are building communities online. And so if you're able to just find those little pockets of connection, even if you feel very lonely in you know, the geographic location that you live in, there are people out there who can offer such support. And most of the time, what we just need to know is someone saying, you know what, I understand what you're going through. I feel you. I'm also going through the same thing. That's all it takes sometimes to make us feel so much better and to feel like we're not alone. Agreed. So, yeah, I think that's what I'd say. I mean, trust yourself. Trust yourself. Yes. You know, you're not wrong. You're not crazy. What the truth that lives in in you that's trying to find its way out is a beautiful truth, and that is where your freedom lies. Yeah.
And pause for effect. That was beautiful. Oh my God. Like, the thing about it is as well that we are always evolving. So you've never really truly arrived. So even if you've gone through that dark side and you've come out, like, I am now ready to like, listening to that, I'm ready to explore again and see what else is there for me. You know what I mean? Although we're talking to you and you might be the person who's at the beginning of your struggle, this is also for people who have gone through that. There's always more to come. There's always more to come. We've been going through our conversation to say to you that God and spirit and sex are one and the same. Thus and therefore, what that means for you is that there's infinite growth that you can have, because God is infinite. The universe is infinite. The divine is infinite. There's always more to have. There's all. So, you know, anybody in the sound of our voices who needs to hear that, whether you've started that journey or whether you've just come out of it and you're now like basking in the light of illumination, just know that there's no place to just sit and like take permanent residence. You are always an explorer. I love the inner space explorer. You're always exploring. There's always more to always. So take that with you when you hear this podcast. Share it around. Don't just keep it to yourself. I love having people listen to the podcast from a podcast host experience. Yes, I like to see my numbers grow. But because this is not just about me, I want people to hear these messages and understand that there is so much more to life. There's more to not just physical life, but spiritual life, emotional life. There's more to life. And I'm honestly feeling like I'm at the end of a sermon here and preaching to people. When they're, you know, calling people to, you know, come to the altar, you know, that kind of thing. I feel that this is literally how I feel right now when I'm speaking to someone for this. I understand that what you are going through is not the end, and you are not to and also that you're not to stay there. You have taken camp and you're basking in the light because you've just come through a dark place, but it is not the end. The spirit is saying to you, take up that tent. I'm literally seeing it. It's like I literally feel like I'm back in church again. I'm feeling that fire, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that used to lead the Israelites through the wilderness. You've just come out of your wilderness, but there's more to go. Look and see that there is a flaming pillar in front of you. God is telling you to keep pushing. There is more to go. There is more to go. Wow. So, yes.
Yeah.
we definitely, I am going to keep in contact with you because I feel one, I've always felt a kindred spirit with you. Two, I feel based on this experience that just happened, there is a connection that needs to continue, that our hands need to build together, because there's stuff that needs to happen on the physical plane that has to come through us through the spirit. So for sure, this is the thing that is gonna, I was a little not skeptical, because I go to sleep and wake up at all sorts of weird hours now that I'm an entrepreneur, but I was how, you know, because of our time difference, I was like, how is this gonna work? But it was perfectly aligned. Everything worked out.
Yeah.
So, please let us end off by letting them know if and how they can contact you. You know what they can experience, and you know how they can contact you and stuff like that.
Yeah. So As I mentioned, my Instagram page is Inner Space Explorer. You can just type that in the search bar and it'll bring me, Tarure. I do have clients that I see that are from different countries. My coaching is not just limited to Kenya. So I do online coaching, whether that's Zoom or Skype calls. I connect with different clients all over the world. So if anybody is interested in reaching out to me for coaching, they can email me at explorerinnerspace@gmail.com. I'm also actually just, I'm going to create also a sign-up link, but that should be up in the course of the next few weeks. But yes, if they email me at explorerinnerspace@gmail.com, that's one word, all small letters, then yeah, they would be able to connect with me. Yeah.
I love you. I just wanted to tell you.
And, I love you too.
And I am so grateful that we reconnected. And I literally felt the presence of the divine as we were talking. Like, this has been amazing. It's been an amazing journey listening to you come through your dark night of the soul, to see you radiating as this beautiful woman of sensuality, of intelligence. And like, and I love the fact, I'll try my best, because you know me, I'll start, we'll have another hour of conversation, but I love the fact that you mentioned that you are not just this sexual being. And I want to end off here by encouraging everybody, but I'm speaking now to the men. I'm speaking now to the men. The women in your life are not just sex objects. The women in your life are not just there for you to be a cum deposit. You just don't just drop your cum upon them and just leave. You don't just drop your dick inside and two strokes, you gone, and that's it. Women are to be revered. Women are to be seen as divine, really. And not to say that men are not. Tomorrow here in Barbados and, you know, all across the world is Father's Day. Tomorrow is Father's Day. When you listen to this podcast, it will be Father's Day. I'm recording it the day before. But with that being said, this is a big hail to all the men who listen to this podcast. And although we focus on women a lot on this podcast, sensuality is not just a feminine trait. Men also need to learn to be sensual. Men also need to learn to connect to their emotions. And so just as I'm encouraging men to elevate the women in their lives, I am also encouraging men to elevate themselves, to come to a higher plane of thought. I love sex. And if you listen to any of my other podcasts and or follow me on my social media, I have coined a term for my Instagram stories. They are naughty polls. They are naughty polls. Hashtag naughty polls. Because at any point in time, I am going to come up with some weird ass question and I'm going to ask it. So I'm going to ask, when's the last time you had an orgasm? I'm going to ask, how was your sense? You know, what did you do for yourself? When's the last time you came? I'm going to ask, just yesterday, I asked the ladies in whoever wanted to answer what panties you were wearing, just because that's my fetish. But beyond that, it's just it was literally just me. I asked random questions, all sensual, sexual, for the community to enjoy and to engage on the page. And I remember asking them, do you want this to be regulated? Certain. Mm-hmm. You have a day for this. So on Wednesday, it's Wild Wednesday, and they said no. Mm-hmm. The majority of the community said nope. We like it as spontaneous as it is. Bring your questions whenever you're ready and all that stuff. So that's it. You can come onto my page and we are gonna have a great time. And but all of this is to say, all of us need to elevate. Men also need to be respected. Tomorrow is you're gonna listen to this on Father's Day. Elevate the men in your life. The men, elevate yourselves. But you also need to understand women need, because the reason for this is that there are too many men who live in the baser elements. They live on the lower or in their lower vibration. And there's nothing wrong with lower vibration. Sexual energy comes from the sacral chakra, which is, right there above your genitals. There is a place for it. There is a place for it, but you can't live there. You can't live there alone. You can't live there alone. The women need to be respected. There is no way in hell you should be speaking to a woman, even out of sex, even from a perspective of having a sexual encounter, without respect.
Yeah.
Without respect. If there's one thing you will get from listening to any of my podcasts, listening to my poetry especially, you will hear that level of respect, even although I'm encouraging her to come. I want her to come. She's supposed to come listening to my voice. Everybody loves to hear me speak poetry. But in the midst of all of that, there is respect. There is respect. And the respect is the main thing that you need to respect. So just like the men are encouraged by the sound of my voice to respect the women, obviously women also need to respect the men. And like I said, I'm going to get off of my own soapbox because I could be here for another hour.
I love it. I love your soapbox.
Thank you so much for being a part of the Wet Spot. As I said, you are welcome to come back at any point in time. That you want to talk about, if you just so you know, I have my actual business is an editing business. So when you start to write your books, you know where to come. I can help you with all of that. So we've been talking to Tarare. Say it for me again. I had it when we started.
Tarare Gatere.
Gatere, right? You see. I had it. But like this is an hour and 30 minutes of conversation, and it got lost in translation. But yes, we've been talking to Tarare. She is a life coach. She's a very good friend. She is sensuality, intimacy, I would say expert. And I would also say she's someone that you definitely need to connect to if you want to explore your own inner space. If you want to explore your own inner space and want to figure out who you are as a person, connect to her at is exploreinnerspace@gmail.com, correct? I think that's what it was?
Yes.
Right. And so you can find her on Instagram, even DM if you're listening and you can always DM me and I can contact her for you. But this has been Passion Point. This has been another episode of The Wet Spot. Thank you for having me in your ear once again. Tarare, it's been an honor. And I just want to say I'm just looking forward to more of this and more of you. So definitely we're gonna connect. So thank you once again. This has been Passion Point and we're out.
All right.
This has been another episode of The Wet Spot. I am your host, Passion Poet. You can contact us at thewetspotpodcast@gmail.com. That's the wet with two T's spot podcast at gmail.com. Or you can check us out on our Instagram page, the.wet.spot.podcast. I know it's a mouthful, I'll say it again. the.wet2t's.spot.podcast. That's our Instagram page. If you wish, you can contact me, Bajan Passion Poet, on Instagram at Bajan.passionpoet at Bajan, Bajan.passionpoet on Instagram. Thank you once again for being a part of our show. See you next time. Let's get wet.